As we were singing, I got two impressions. First one was of the Holy Spirit flocking us together on a field, like we're all sheep. And He's running around us and like gathering us all together and loading us all in a truck, like all stacked and huddled up together, going somewhere. And we don't know where we're going, but we're definitely going somewhere. And we're still not in control of it, and we're just willing. And we're going there, and it's awesome. And the second thing was, yeah, I really felt like God is planning to raise up prophets amongst us, like new prophets for the first time. And I think you know who you are. And yeah, it's like you're going to rise up from below the ground, like lighthouses. It's coming up and breaking through the surface of the earth with the rocks sputtering everywhere. And it's kind of like a sudden onset, like suddenly it's just like rocks in the sea, and then the sudden outbreak of lighthouses everywhere and shining, like immediately. So yeah, I just feel like expectant ears and courageous hearts. And yeah, just expect the Lord to speak to you, because He wants to say something to the church.
Ek het sommer net ervaar dat die Here Jesus wil Homself baie graag aan ons openbaar vir die naweek. Wat nogal special was vir my is, wat hy eintlik vra is, open your spiritual senses. Open your spiritual senses, because somebody is going to taste Him, somebody is going to smell Him, somebody is going to touch Him, somebody is going to see Him. Wat is die ander? Etcetera, etcetera. En wat nodig is dat ons op die ouene saam, wat ons het mekaar nodig op die ouene om God in Jesus en sy totaliteit te ervaar. En ek dink ons moet daai perspektief bou die oor die naweek is, ons het mekaar nodig. God wil iets spesifiek in ons elkeen doen, maar op die ouene, dit wat hy in iemand anders doen, celebrate dit, want op die ouene het jy deel daaraan. Want hy openbaar homself tussen mekaar, in mekaar.
Amen. I also just felt that when we're seeing rain down, I just felt like every drop is like Jesus Christ raining down on us. Like through His Spirit, He manifests everywhere. You see Him everywhere. It's the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And so I just want to agree with that as well. I agree that God wants to reveal Jesus this weekend to us.
Thank you. When He rains down like that, don't put an umbrella up. Trust Him.
Amen.
I just also felt that, you know, we all know that scripture that says, ask and you will receive. Are you laughing at my... I just feel that some of us are actually afraid to ask the Lord for a deeper measure of His Spirit, because we're not... It's kind of unfamiliar territory. It's like, God, do I really want it? Do I really want to go there? And I just feel God says, like Michael said now, just trust Him. You know, we should ask, we should desire the presence of God. We should desire it. And if we don't desire it, if we don't ask for it, we're always going to live with a little bit that we have now and the limited portion of God that we know. And there's just so much more. And I just know it's for myself as well, that God's challenging me. Sonika, you don't know even like a tiny bit of who I am, and there's just so much more. So I just feel we need to, each one of us individually, we need to ask. We need to ask this weekend with all of our hearts and say, God, show me who You are.
Amen. Let's respond to that word. Take 30 seconds there. And just pray that and say, Lord, reveal Yourself to me Your way, not my way. Ons het allemaal vooropgestelde ideas. We have preconceived ideas. We put God in a box and we say, God, this is how you can. Don't do that. Let's be open-minded and say, God, your way. Okay, just take a half a minute or so and just pray to the Lord. Thing as well. I don't know if you guys know T.D. Jakes, but he plays with the organ for behind him while he's preaching to make it more dramatic. And he sweats a lot. Big African-American guy. Okay. Shoo. Dit was no lekker. Now, I don't know if you were with us wherever we went, but that was really special. And I'm trusting that all of us will go somewhere this weekend. I've had such a good week. Just really spending. It's just I can't get enough of God. I just want to spend time with the Lord the whole time. I just want to experience Him. And I'm really trusting that the rest of us will, all of us will, get to a place where it's just you just want to know God. It's like I saw now. It's like we are deserts, our hearts, our souls. And we don't even realize it. Most of what we know as Western Christianity is just desert Christianity. Because we're so intellectual, we're so in our minds, and so not in the spirit. And so this weekend, we're gonna share with you guys about the things of the spirit. And we're going to be sharing with you as well to explain to you why it is so important to live in the spirit. And I'm going to show you a video clip in a moment. It's about a lady called Heidi Baker. Johan Gansevoort shared with us about her ministry in Mozambique a few months ago. Yeah, 2 maanden. And this lady is very deep, but at the same time she's changing the world. And so often we are afraid of going too deep in the spirit because it's just too weird. But if you see the fruit of stepping into the presence of God, it's just amazing. And so I said the revival starts here. Where's that? Where's here? Point to your heart. Revival starts here. It's amazing how one often, you know, you want to change the world, or you want to change, if you're the pastor, you want to change your church the whole time. And it's amazing how when you try and do that, that God actually takes you in a werk jou saak. And I can really feel God, he's working my case. He's really working my heart, really working my attitude, my motivations for why am I doing what I'm doing. And I can see the Lord is bringing a revival into my heart. And I'm so trusting that this weekend, all of us will experience that and more. Ah, oh, Dion, welcome terug. Okay, so I want to show us the video clip. This is a lady from America, studied in America, and went to Mozambique. There's a long testimony. Over this weekend, I'm going to show different clips about her. And they are... In the first few years of their ministry, one guy said they maybe reached a few thousand people. I think he said in the first 18 years of their ministry, wherever they were in the world, they reached a few thousand people. And the last eight years until 2007 or 2008, they actually, I think they over 1 million people came to the Lord in Mozambique and the surrounding areas. 8 years through this lady's ministry. And but something happened in her heart, which is it's really, really special. So we're going to use her a bit as a case study. There's a little balloon there. We're going to use as a case study. Tomorrow morning we're going to speak about the prophetic. We're going to speak, and I'm going to show you a video clip or two about the prophecies that were spoken over her life and the effects of it and the path that she has been walking. It's very, very blessed. Okay, can we show that video clip?
The African nation of Mozambique is one of the poorest countries in the world, but as you're about to see, it's also a place of extraordinary miracles.
Heidi Baker has made it her life's work to help the people of Mozambique, the poorest country in the world. She and her husband Roland founded Iris Ministries, whose orphanages are home to over 2,000 children. Heidi has seen food multiplied, just like the loaves and fishes in the Bible. She's also seen the sick healed and people raised from the dead.
He works here because they're poor in spirit. He works here because they're humble, desperate, dependent. They need God.
Heidi Baker is the co-founder of Iris Ministries, and she's also written a brand new book called Compelled by Love. And Heidi, we welcome you back to the 700
Thank you,
Club.
Jerry.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Thanks.
You made a pretty strong statement about your ministry in Mozambique. You said, if God does not show up, we are dead. What do you mean by that?
We need him 24 hours a day. He has to be there. He's our everything. There's no backup plan. Mm-hmm. If God doesn't show up, we're dead. We have to have his presence. We have to have miracles to survive.
Speaking of miracles, you have, in your ministry, I understand, seen more than 100 people raised from the dead. That's an incredible resurrection power move by God. Why do you think that's happening?
Well, first of all, the people that pray for those who are dead are little bush pastors. They don't have any posters. They don't have any media. They're little men and women in dirt in little huts, and they just take babies, and they'll keep them 3 days at a time praying. They don't eat or drink. They'll just rock them and pray for them, and some of them get up, and it brings a whole village to Jesus. So it's been a powerful thing. It's humility.
And that's really what God says is so significant in our walk with him, isn't it? Mm. Do we struggle with that more in the Western world?
Perhaps.
Be honest.
Perhaps.
Be honest.
Just maybe a little bit. Sometimes people would like to be seen, and it seems the hidden ones that are laid low before him, he feels free to pour his power through them.
You know, I realize I found that the times in my life when I really met with God is when I was really desperate for him. You see, in our environment, in our society, we don't often really need to be desperate. And so I think we miss out. I think we eat those breadcrumbs, the dry breadcrumbs, when we can have so much more. So I want to, as I said, revival starts here in our hearts. And I want to share a few things. Okay, so the theme for this weekend is no limits. And as we were praying on Monday night, we felt God saying that basically it's his love that causes us to have no limits. I just want to take you through Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 10, and just share a few insights or just a few thoughts about this. Because I really feel this is one of the words God gave us when, even before the church started, when we came here 4 years ago to pray in East London. And the Lord has really been speaking to me about this the last few weeks. But Ezekiel 37, the first few verses there, you can see it on screen. It says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones." Can you say full of bones? "And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones, they were very dry." Can you say very dry? Very dry. So I'm picturing this. God is speaking to Ezekiel and saying, "Ezekiel, I've got an awesome plan for you. I want you to raise up an army." And he's thinking, this is so cool. I'm going to raise up an army. And so the Lord puts him into his spirit chopper helicopter, and he's being taken over the valley. Do, 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 and he comes down and gets out. He's thinking, yeah, where is my army? And he's strutting around, and the Lord shows him, "There's your army." "What do you mean, Lord, there's my army? It's bones. Dry bones. I mean, really dry bones." And so it's like, it says there, He led me back and forth among them. So he was walking through this valley looking for his army. And God intimately reveals to him, this army is in Sekas. This is a broken army. They are just bones. They are like dry bones, really dry bones. And so I can just imagine how Ezekiel might have felt, saying, God, I was excited. I'm not anymore. But I believe God did that for a reason. He wanted him to see the plight. He wanted him to see the challenge. Know that this is a mess. Because that does something to you and me. And he says he was taken in the spirit. And I feel like the Lord is taking me in the spirit the last few weeks. And I'm looking around everywhere and thinking, God, we're a mess. We're dry. We really, you said army, Lord, but we're dry. We're really not there. I'm talking about myself. I'm not where God wants me. And so if we look at society, that's where we see dry bones. The church, dry bones. But it's like God wants to say, surprise, but see it. You see, as long as you think, you're fine. As long as you think, hey, you're rich, you're good, you're blessed, you're there, you're going to miss it. As Heidi Baker said, the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven comes down for the poor in spirit. As long as we think we are rich in ourselves, then we're going to miss this. And so God is wanting to build into us a desperation. So how desperate are you? How desperate are you for God? How desperate are you? This is a very good question to answer because it will influence our lifestyle. It will influence the way we live. And then verse 3. It says, God says, he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. But God wants to ask us that question, can these bones live? Can they live? Can God turn this around? Can he make an army out of this? Can he change the world? Can he? Feels like God is asking me that almost every day. Look at the dry bones. Look at yourself. Look at everything around you. What do you see? What do you see? One guy wrote this book, he said, you see bones, I see an army. And there's a point where in the spirit needs to see it in the context of the greatness of God. But there's this tension, what you're seeing and what you're seeing. There will always be that tension. But the question is, where are you spending your time? If you're spending your time, if you're spending your life here, that's all you're going to see. You're going to see bones. But if you find yourself in the presence of God, if you find yourself in his glory face to face, you're going to see, I see an army. God, you can do this. So it's very important for us to answer that question. Can these bones live? God wants us to have faith. So that's what this weekend is also about, to get faith, to something just to start seeing with the eyes of our hearts, to start seeing with faith, with the eyes of the Spirit, in the context of the greatness of God, to say, Lord, come and do this. Then verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones. First he said, Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. But then he says, then God says, now prophesy to these bones. I mean, in other words, speak the word of God to them. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones. Saying again, okay, you're dry. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. What is prophecy? Tomorrow morning we're going to speak about prophecy. We're going to speak about the prophetic. What is a prophet? It's somebody that speaks on behalf of another. And that's in speaking on behalf of God. It's just taking your mouth and making it available for God to speak through you. So it says, now prophesy to these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Imagine that, dry bones. I mean, this is a mess. There's no ways. But the word of God, when the word of God goes forth, it can transform our lives. It is a creative. It has creative power. And so there was a partnership between God and Ezekiel so that life could come. Prophesy. Prophecy. It doesn't fall out of the sky. God works through a human being. And this weekend as well, we want to trust God that you and you will be speaking the words that God gives you to speak over another person's life, to speak the word of God into somebody's life, to become that mouthpiece. Verse 5, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. The sovereign Lord says to these bones, I will make breath into you. I will make. That's what God says. I will make. I'm going to do this miracle. I don't know where you are at in terms of your life. Maybe you feel like your life is a bit of a mess. Maybe you're broken. Maybe you feel like it. Those bones. Or maybe in terms of your relationship with God, you just feel, sure, it's just dry. And just maybe you think, these spiritual stuff, yeah, it's not for me. I don't know, I can't go there. Never been spiritual. It's not me. I told the guys when we spoke there at the men's meeting, I told them the 12 disciples that Jesus chose, I asked them the question, were they spiritual when Jesus chose them? Were they the super spiritual guys over Israel? No, they weren't. They were just fishermen, tax collectors, nobodies. They were unspiritual, but God took the unspiritual and 4 books later, Acts chapter 2, we have action. We have guys at the forefront changing the world. But these unspiritual guys became very spiritual when one thing happened. They had an encounter with the presence of God. And that's what we want to trust for this week. And they had an encounter with the presence of God. They had an encounter with the presence of God. And I realize, I don't know if I've ever been as desperate for the presence of God as I am right now. Because I just realized, God, this is a problem. God, only you can do this. I don't know. I don't know what you guys are aiming for, but I'm not aiming for a church to be people that just come to church every Sunday, but there's no life. God isn't manifesting. God isn't moving. The people aren't in love with Jesus. Just going through the motions. Oh, I got to go to church. So we go to church, go to cell, got to go to cell. That's not what God has called us to. That is not biblical Christianity. God has called us to be alive. Alive in Him. I want to play a song, but later, just about the song's name is Awakening. It just speaks about this awakening. I'm praying for an awakening in our spirits, in our hearts, to happen. But He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you. And you will come to life. That's the prophecy. It's not happening yet. It's just dry bones. But He's speaking the word as the Spirit leads Him. And so He's prophesying. He is not forth. He's not foretelling. He is forthtelling. He is speaking something into being. Okay. That's what prophecy is. It's forthtelling. It's speaking something into being. It will come to life. And I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. I will put breath in you. I will put breath in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And God says, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. But there's a challenge here for us, I believe. The breath that I believe God brings is when we step into His presence. That's when the breath comes. So that's what we want to do this weekend. And then the next verse. Then you will know that I am the Lord. The Lord has spoken to us over and over again. He's confirmed it quite a few times. He said He wants to raise up an army through this church. An army. What army is that? guys running around AK-47s killing one another. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Growling at one another. Fanatics, religious fanatics, freaks, army, storming into the streets, hitting people with a Bible on the head. Yes! No, don't worry. An army that is different than any other army on this on the face of this earth. An army that loves people. An army that loves people into the kingdom. You see at the last bit it says, and a great army rose up. You see, when God puts you together, you see, you and I, we can't love people if we're not whole. We can't love people because, see, you're not called to love those who love you back. You are called to love those who reject you. You are called to love those who backstab you. You're called to love those who hate you. That's the challenge. I'm going to get there later this week and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I feel God is saying to me, I'm calling you to love till it hurts. You see, but we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. But I can see God is saying, my love will sustain you. You see, but a whole person can love even when he's rejected. And the Bible says love never fails. Love never fails. That is the army God is speaking of. But it starts with our relationship with God. If you're in His love, if you're connected with Him in His presence, then you can translate that to the world. That is the army God wants to raise up. Which of you like to love people when they hate you or despise you or reject you? Anybody? It's very hard. It's very hard. But that's the army I believe God is raising up. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So that's supernatural for a people to love others even when they are hated, rejected, despised. Then you will know that I'm the Lord. There will be a supernatural thing that God will do in our midst that we just know this must be God. This must be God. I'm just loving somebody that I should be swearing at. You will know that I am the Lord. It is proof that God exists, this type of army. And you will see some of the clips with Heidi Baker. Yes, it's scary what stuff she's happening with her. The way people, witch doctors try to kill her often, Muslims throw her with stones. Just lots of stuff happening. And she just continues to love. It's amazing, but she's just so in the presence of God. But we're going to get there. Verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. You see, it's like God commands us. He's saying, guys, they are some dry bones. I've called you to come and bring a gift to them. A gift of prophecy. A gift of the Spirit. A gift of love. Each and every one of us has received a gift and will receive gifts from God. But it's not for ourselves. It's for somebody else. Everything God gives you, He gives it actually for somebody else. That's how God operates. Gives to you so that you can give to others. But we need to partner with God. So as I was commanded, I prophesied. And as I was prophesying, as I spoke these words, these supernatural words of life, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And so the structure was formed. Of the army, the individual, everything was put together, but there still wasn't life. And so I believe a part of prophecy would be that God, I'm not saying that's exactly what this means, but I could see that a part of prophecy or the word of God would be for ideas, for structures, for organizations, for somebody's life to go in a certain direction, to give you clues about your destiny, to give you an idea of what your giftings are, to open your eyes to see And so as it is prophesied, for instance, when I was a first-year student, second-year student, I remember Pastor Fred at Stellenbosch, he prayed for me. Now, I was a young believer. I didn't think I'm ever going to do anything for God. But he prayed over me, and he prophesied. He said, one day you're going to go into youth ministry, full-time ministry. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And so I thought, it just opened my mind completely. I'd never thought about that. I remember sitting in the church and then altar calls for full-time ministry people. And I was sitting there banging, it's not for me, you know, and it's for other people. And which is amazing. It opened my mind to the possibility. And I thought it was going to be after 40, first because I was studying my master's degree in MBA, wanting to go into business. I thought I'm going to do all these things. And I thought it was going to be after 40s. In the 40s, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I should have known better. And then when I just didn't even finish my studies, I was just almost finished. And then the Lord spoke to me one night and said, apply for a job at the church. And I jumped into youth ministry and went for it. I'm still doing youth ministry in a sense. I can't help myself. Just love the young people. But it was amazing that word, it influenced my destiny. It showed me the way. But I had confirmation in my heart that it was of God. And tomorrow morning we're going to speak about that. We're going to, Sonika specifically, going to speak about how do you determine when a word is of God and when it's not? Because you can't necessarily test it now with scripture if it's like going into youth ministry. You know, so we're going to talk about how do you test it? How do you make sure that a word is of God? But so that changed my life. And then I went to work at the church for 6 months and thought, this is just going to be for 6 months. It's now almost 9 years. And my mom still sent me, a few years after being in the ministry, she still sends me emails then with possible engineering job opportunities. She still didn't get the idea. Ma, nia, the supermission. Okay. But there was no breath in them. Okay, so you can have the prophecy that gives you direction or structure or put sort of the flesh together, but there's still no breath. In other words, I can get a word, youth ministry, and I go into youth ministry, and I can still be miserable, struggling, because there's no breath. No breath. So the next verse there. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, this reveals, on the one hand, there's a place where you ask God, you pray, Lord, I pray for this and for this and for this. On the other hand, there's a place where you receive his word and you speak it into being. You prophesy it. You release the word of God and it changes your environment. But in this case, it's prophesy to the breath, the Holy Spirit. Prophesy to the Spirit of God and say, come. Prophesy, son of man, and say to this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. And maybe there's some of us that have been slain. Maybe you've got hurt somewhere along the line. Maybe you've been exposed to the things of the Spirit and you actually got hurt and so you're backing off. Maybe you were in a battle and you got slain. But I tell you, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, it brings life. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it brings life. It's like you are able to love those who despise you because your heart is in the Spirit. It's in the hands of Jesus. It's in Him. And so nobody can hurt you. You're safe in Him. You see, but most of us get offended and hurt and this and that. Why? Because we are not in the Spirit. We're not in that place. And so this weekend, we're going to prophesy to the breath. And so I prophesied as He commanded me, and breath entered into them, and they came to life. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. A vast army. I really believe that's what God wants to do. A vast army of believers who are whole. Believers who trust in God. Believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Believers who can love even those who do not love them back. healed so that we can love. So how is this army made whole? Just to summarize. First one, prophecy. Might have been a mess, but the word of God comes and brings life, okay? Comes and restores, comes and puts together, comes and brings flesh. And then the breath. Anybody here been out of breath ever? Anybody? Yeah. Okay. A few of us have been out of breath. Now imagine being completely out of breath. I mean, you can't breathe. How would your body respond? You'll struggle. You'll struggle to do anything. Everything will be a challenge to you. Everything will be a struggle. Just walking somewhere will be hard for you because you don't have breath in your lungs. Many of us are living as Christians like that. Everything in Christianity is a struggle. It's hard because we don't have breath. We don't have breath. And so we burn out. So we struggle. And so I believe God is wanting to bring breath to us, to make us alive. But what is a revival? Revival is the process of being revived, being awakened. Revive, the word revive means to become active and flourishing again, or to bring back to life. Bring back to life. And I'm trusting that our hearts are going to come alive by the Spirit of God over these 2 days. So I want us, the words are going to be on the screen. Do you have the words there? Awakening. Can we play the song? So you can just listen to it.
You and you alone awake my.
not number two. Okay, let's stand. I want us to actually sing that just once through. Can you stand? And the worship guys can come forward. Ja, julle kan mouth. Julle kan mouth. Julle kan maak asof dit julle is. But I want us to sing that as a proclamation, to speak to your own soul. Awake, my soul. Awake, my soul. And sing. And then we're just going to pray a little bit. Just pray for... Yeah, I'll show you now. Okay, Father, we bring our hearts before you, Lord. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, God, that you will stir us. Awake our souls, God. Awake our spirit man, Lord God. Life, God, even as I felt you speak to me, God, resurrection life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, as we proclaim this song, Lord, we declare, awake, awake my soul, awake my spirit to the love of Christ, awake my whole being to the fullness of Christ, to the goodness of Christ, in Jesus' name. Lord, where there's dryness, God, we pray you'll bring life now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that. Just put the CD on again, number one.
Holy Spirit, we desire.
Amen. It just feels good to say, awake my soul. So let's take the hand of the person next to you. So the band can just give us some background music. I just feel in my heart that there's as well, there are lots of things that cause our spiritual senses to become like deaf. Yeah, our spiritual ears become deaf, our spiritual eyes to become blind. And I'm praying, and we're praying that our spiritual ears will open and our eyes will open. And so I want us now, just as we're holding hands, I just want us to... We're just going to take a few minutes and just pray. Just pray in the Spirit, or just pray, but I want us just to pray for the person standing next to you. Just as you're standing, you don't have to turn to that person. You can just pray for them. We're going to take, say, 5 minutes now. We're just going to pray in the Spirit and just pray your blessing on the person next to you. And just say, Lord, awaken their senses. Open their ears. God, we declare it right now, awaken. Awaken your people, God. Resurrection life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Okay, now pray for the person next to you as if you are praying for yourself. Ask God to give that person what you want. Thank you. I just felt that we just want to be obedient. I just felt the Lord saying, we need just 10 guys to come and stand here. So don't worry about who's not necessarily special or not special. I just want everybody to be prayed for. So these 10 guys, myself included, are going to pray for everybody. Just, I know it might be guys and girls or whatever, so the wives can first come to their husbands and then stand next to their husbands and pray with them for whoever comes next. I just felt that we need to pray for people. And so we're just going to speak a blessing. You don't need to prophesy anything. You can just speak a blessing over them. Just want to establish something in the spirit tonight. Okay. Father, can you guys just hold up your hands before yourselves as fathers? Father, we thank you, Lord God, that each of us is a vessel for the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, that we can right now be a vessel through which you operate, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can pray simple prayers, Lord, and it can have a profound effect on people's lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we bless your name. Okay, can the wives or girlfriends first come and stand with the special one? Okay, so we're just going to pray for... Okay, and now... Each, you can come as there are gaps. Just come and stand... No, not that type of gap. Nada. Yes, swear. Okay, so we're going to be praying now. So just come and stand in front of one of the guys. They're going to pray for you. And when somebody leaves, then you can also just come and stand. We just want to pray for everybody, if that's fine with you. Okay, so just take a minute or two. Don't rush it. Take a minute or two and pray, and then pray for the next person. And the band can just worship. Mark Gees.